Excitement you hear is Sunday Night Live from the Calvary Church here in De Quincey, Louisiana. Thank you, congregation. You may be seated on this rainy, stormy evening, the first Sunday in the month of August, 2008. We greet you wherever you are in this world. The message of Jesus Christ is coming to you through Sunday Night Live now. Give us your attention. Christians pray that unsaved people will be moved with the power of the preaching of the gospel. There is absolutely no power like proclaiming the word of God. The apostle said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And to those of us who believe, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Thank you for clicking on to Sunday Night Live. Now, week after week, month after month, as on so many occasions before, we bring our missionary director to the Sunday Night Live microphone with messages from you. And when we hear what you say, then we will listen to the Word of God. Let's welcome Missionary Schiltz to the Sunday Night Live microphone tonight. God bless you, Brother Schiltz.
Well, thank you so much again, Brother Hicks. I appreciate being here. Bible says, "In that day they shall say, praise the Lord." All my life, since I was old enough to talk, old enough to understand, I've heard friends and neighbors and relatives say to one another, "Praise the Lord," on greeting. And I love the phrase, "Praise the Lord." Some people begin to look down on us because we say that, and they think we get a little bit overbearing with it. But let me tell you something. Praise to God, praise the Lord, is not just commentary. It is absolute lifestyle, and I'm so thrilled to be one of them. Praise God. If you're not one of them, you don't know what you're missing out on. Praise the Lord. I was considering earlier tonight as I was reading some of these messages, and I thought to myself, what an amazing work God is doing through this simple, humble little church over here in southern Louisiana. And we get messages from around the world, and we get messages, as a matter of fact, let me take the liberty of saying, we have two messages tonight that are from some greatly notarized people, some people that are of great authority and great consequence in this business world and in the church world. And it amazes me sometimes how much influence a simple little broadcast like Sunday Night Live can have when it's going forth around the world under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, founded on a foundation of truth. People can scoff and laugh, but they can't go to the Word of God and disprove anything that's being preached over this pulpit. And that makes me proud, for one. Praise God. We have some great messages tonight. Let me read you a few of them. This is August 3rd, 2008. This letter says, "Dear Brother Hicks, we would like to stream your services each Sunday on page 1 of Acts2.net. I have always thought you were the best preacher I ever heard, and still do. F.W. Patton, pwp.org. That impresses me. Here's another message. Listen close to this message. And I want to add a personal note to this message. It says to Calvary Prayer Team, thanks for your prayers. I survived another emergency room medical problem, and today I'm feeling great. Blessings to you and Sunday Night Live, Brother Ed Hicks, Corpus Christi,
Amen.
Texas."
God bless, Brother Ed.
Now, I want to say to Brother Ed Hicks, just personally, We appreciate him so much.
Amen.
We appreciate him being behind his younger brother so much. And we also appreciate him recognizing the great work that Brother Marvin Hicks is doing here. Here's another message. Pastor Hicks and Missionary Schultz. The sermon Ragman should be published and preached in every conference and camp meeting. Of all your messages during the past 63 years, the Ragman message will always be in my mind and heart. Keep touching God for us. J.D.M., a district official of the United Pentecostal Church.
Amen. Thank God.
And let me tell you that J.B.N. knows the messages that Pastor Hicks has preached. We're proud of that message. Another one, Sunday Night Live staff greetings. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We need Sunday Night Live in Hawaii. We are so thrilled that your Sunday night service can be heard all over the world. Blessings to you all. Pearl City, Hawaii. We appreciate that. Now you can send us a message by U.S. Post at Post Office Box 715, De Quincey, Louisiana 70633. Or you can get on the internet and email us at CalvarySNL. It's one word, CalvarySNL@AOL.com. And now here is the theme that introduces the messages. The subject today is the infinity of littleness.
Let's give him praise as we tell the story of our wonderful Lord. Thank you. While you're standing, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Thank you, congregation, and you may be seated. It is only by being little that we ever discover anything really big. So the subject for this meditation is the infinity of littleness. And the text says, in reference to the mighty Holy Ghost baptism received by individuals, it will be here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, saith the Lord. Now, the six-letter word pronounced little has a vastness beyond any description. I refer to it tonight as the infinity of littleness. Now, infinity means endless, immeasurable, without limitation. I hear the echo. It is emitting from every mission field in the world. The words reverberate across every continent by ministers and missionaries who plant his or her heart in the soil of saints. The words of a hymn of commitment tell the story of the infinity of littleness in the harvest field now ripened. There's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. And then Mrs. Suffield writes the chorus, little is much if God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. And these words are for all of those hearing me now who may in your estimation have little hands but big hearts. God loves little things. First and foremost, we must understand how important little things really are. So very significant. The infinity of littleness, small things, life, you see, is a duration of little things. Why do you say that, Pastor? One breath from a funeral. How fragile is this human existence? Solomon 2:5, the little foxes, not the big ones, the little foxes spoil the vine. Galatians 5:9, the great apostle said, a little leaven leaveneth a whole loaf. Doesn't take much. One spark and 14,000 acres of the state of California are burned to a crisp. Animals die. $1 million homes lie in ashes. It all began with something very small. One gentleman brought his cleaning in from the cleaners. He was putting on a shirt one night, and the laundry tag, the size of this I hold in my hand, had a staple in it. And it was attached to his shirt, and when he put his shirt tail in, he scratched his leg. From that scratch, there was a sore. From the sore, a malignancy. From the cancer to the lymph nodes. And from the lymph nodes to the pancreas. He died. All began with one little staple in a laundry marker. Think of that. A bird flew into a jet engine the other day, endangering 200 lives and cost $20,000 to repair. A ship found itself 200 miles off course. What happened? They found that a 10-penny nail had been driven too near the compass and had destroyed its trustworthiness. The infinity of littleness. The Hiroshima bomb that killed so many thousands and leveled that city in Japan. They tell us it was triggered by 0.3 millionth of a second. Scientists in Chicago have recently perfected an instrument capable of measuring a millionth gram of plutonium. The infinity of littleness. When I was a child, we played cars. And in our poorer days, we had little 2x4 blocks. But they had lights on them and engines. We even made the sound of the engine as we roared across the floor. My brother contracted diphtheria. My older brother went to the hospital. When he came back, they gave him a car with real lights on it and a battery in it. Oh, I seethed in anger because my lights wouldn't turn on. But to us, that was a Buick. That was a Cadillac. That was a Mercedes-Benz. Ah, yeah. It was a real car. And when we played soldiers on the rug, not the rug, but the linoleum, and those matches we struck were real incendiary bombs, and the soldiers had flesh and blood and sinew, because we were real. We were small, and things then were very big. We lived on the top of Fess Avenue, 3 blocks up the hill. Mother said, take this gallon jug and go down and get some kerosene. And I bought a gallon of kerosene for a dime. I carried it back up that hill just crying. Why didn't Mother make somebody else do this? It's August. It's 95 degrees. I'm having to carry up this big hill. 40 years later, I went back with a Buick and zoomed up to the top of it. Didn't even know I was on a hill. It was just a little knoll. You know what I'm talking about. When you go back to your home country, back to where you were born, back to the farm, everything now seems so little. But when we were a child, it all was so very, very big. Littleness is so important to God because Saul was told to destroy all the Amalekites, and he spared them. And he said, Samuel, look what I've done, all the commandments of God. Samuel said, there's a problem. I hear the lowing of the cattle and the bleating of the sheep. And then Samuel told Saul, 1 Samuel 15 and 17, when thou wast a little in thine own sight, God set thee apart and made thee king over Israel. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean that you lie down and say, walk over me, world. No, sir. Stand up. You're a child of God, baptized in His name, filled with His Spirit. You don't have to look up to anybody. You're a child of the King. Somebody ought to get happy with me about that. But you see, man cannot add to his stature, the Bible says. James 4:6 says, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. And then Luke 14:11, whoso exalteth himself shall be abased, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Let me tell you a fictitious story. I can't get it out of my mind. It goes right here. An old man was talking to his grandson, and he said, son, your papa here in Alaska was out running a bear one time. Said, I could feel the hot breath of that bear on my foot as I was running as fast as I could, son. The little eyes of that boy were bugging out. He said, Papa, tell me the rest. He said, I saw a hollow log, and I made a dive for it. And I got in that log, and I was spared the bear, but it rained, and the log swelled up, and your papa was stuck. He said, how in the world did you get out, Papa? He said, I thought how big God was, and how little I am. I got up and walked out. Thank God, let's give the Lord a hand that He is big and we are small. But little is much if God is in it. Let's praise Him again. I know that's a fictitious story. That brings me to our next point. Our text refers to the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Here a little and there a little. A small church in a country town with just a few pews. And a few members, but here a little. Down the road, another church, and there a little. And then another church, and there a little. And what begins as so little has infinity in it, because it is a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the promise of John 3, Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, you cannot tell from whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. And Jesus said in John 7, 38 and 39, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, that they who believe on him should receive from the Holy Ghost. Was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Then in John chapter 20, he called his apostles around, and the Bible said, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They didn't receive it there. He wasn't glorified yet. But when He gave them that breath symbol, it meant that on the day of Pentecost, they were with one accord and in one place. And one of our fine men, last Thursday night, slumped over at the keyboard with an apparent heart attack. I've never seen this congregation since I've been pastor here in such one accord, in one mind, and one place. And God came on the scene, and that man is in the service tonight. God bless you, Brother Jimmy Howard. Everybody say, praise the Lord. But when the day of Pentecost came, the Bible said there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Remember, Jesus said, you'll hear the wind and the sound. So it began on the day of Pentecost. And then what happened? The little became bigger and bigger. Now, all these centuries later, we can look out across the panorama of the world, and the statistics are finalized. 800 million people have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and have spoken in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Little as much of God is in it, the infinity of littleness. All denominations now are experiencing this. A Church of Christ was hiring a preacher. That's wrong to even hire a preacher, but they're a denomination, so they know how to do that. And they said, we like your preaching. You got a good personality. We'd like to hire you, but we hear you talking tongues. Now, the Churches of Christ don't believe anybody but the 12 apostles received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Looks like to me every one of their faces would be red now with 800 million people talking in tongues. But what happened? They said, we hear you talking tongues. He said, I'll make a deal with you. If you hire me as pastor, I'll only speak in tongues in the basement. Wait a minute. I got a phone call one morning, one late at night. A fellow said, I'm a youth leader of a church. I've heard your broadcast. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name, but I want to sneak over there and do it. If you promise me, you won't tell anybody. So he got in his motorcycle and rode over to the church. I baptized him in Jesus' name. And he said, now you promise you won't tell. I'll lose my job in my church. I said, no, I won't tell, but if it takes, you will. There's just something about this name that you have to talk about. Glory to God. Let's praise Him again. What a beautiful spirit here tonight. There's a special and powerful anointing gripping this service. Not like this. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says in John 3, the Spirit moves, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now that is the original of that verse says, the Holy Ghost moves where He wants to. And not only that, you can't quarantine the Spirit and tell when you're going to speak in tongues and when you're not. In fact, away with this doctrine that you can chatter anytime you want to. The Bible says in Acts 2:4, they spake in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And if the Spirit of God doesn't give you the utterance, shut up! Oh, you ought to understand that without the gift of interpretation. Now, the Spirit of God moves. You come to a church. You fall on an altar. You repent of your sins. And then all of a sudden, God fills you with the Holy Ghost. He calls you to preach the gospel. You're very ordinary. What can I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give Him a lamb. If I were a rich man, I'd do my part. But what can I give Him? I'll just give Him my heart. So, give Him your heart. Obey His call. Men are called to preach the gospel. Not by moms and dads. Not that sons inherit churches. But they're called and set in the name of the Lord by the will of God. And so you're called to preach and you go out. And somebody says, that's a little church with a little congregation. That there goes from that church of messenger that wins 10,000 souls. The infinity of littleness. Oh, this gets a hold of my heart. In Kentucky, an evangelist pulled his heart out for 3 weeks. Nobody got saved. One night, the last night, a little barefoot boy came in from the country, knelt at the altar, and God gloriously filled him with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The evangelist left in tears. He told his next preacher, I just had my worst revival. But that little guy got up and won souls and won tens of thousands of people to the Lord. And that was that evangelist's best revival. Little is much if God is in it. I'm talking about the infinity of littleness. Now, every Christmas we sing, oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. The prophet Micah said like this, 5:2, oh, thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little, everybody say little, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come one forth, whose goings have been from old, from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, can you imagine the little town of Bethlehem? The prophet saw a little town and a little baby born in a manger. But that little baby was taken to the temple. Simeon held him in his arms and said, Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and a glory to my people Israel. And he put the baby back in the arms of Mary and Joseph. They went out from the temple, and old Simeon looked down the country road. There was a couple with a little baby holding close to their heart. What does that say to you? What does it say to me but God in the hands of men? The infinity of littleness. But he moved from the temple. Then he goes swiftly to John's baptism. Oh, thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come. And he passed by Bartimaeus and healed his blindness. Oh, out of thee shall come a ruler. He passed the bier and raised the widow's son. He passed the leper and said, I will be thou clean. And he was cleansed. He passed 5,000 and multiplied the fish and the loaves, and he fed the multitudes. Oh, I'm getting happy preaching this now. He went to Galilee. He walked down to the bank, and he walked right onto the water. Out of thee shall come forth him that is to be ruler. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth. He went to Gethsemane, sweat as it were great drops of blood. Listen to this preacher. I found something today I've been missing for 63 years. I've imagined Jesus kneeling at Gethsemane with his arms and hands folded, sweating great drops of blood in agony for me and you. The Bible doesn't teach that. He fell on his face.
Yes. Yes.
He fell on his face. What desperation. From there, he went to the cross, from the cross to the tomb. And one throb on resurrection day was sufficient to break the bands of death, stun the Roman guard, roll the stone away, and give you and me the wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. Here a little and there a little. I tell you, the infinity of this littleness, I see him now. The little baby. What do you see, John? I'm on the Isle of Patmos. I see a little baby. Is that all you see? No. He's on a white stallion. On his vesture dipped in blood is written the words, the King of Kings. Out of thee, O Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come one forth whose goings have been from old, from everlasting to everlasting, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, my, my, my. Then I see him coming again. What are you looking for, Brother Hicks, a baby? No. Littleness became infinite. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the temple of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive. I'm going to have to close here. A little baby. A little town. The infinity of littleness. Consider with me a moment. A minute. Don't you ever dishonor a minute. There may be an eternity in it. I talked to my brother yesterday. He thought he was dying once this week. The emergency room, he was ready to go. I never will forget what he said to me on the phone. He said, "Brother, it's better to light a little candle than it is to curse all the darkness." The infinity of littleness. If I say this to you tonight, in whatever esteem you see our Savior, however bright the effulgence may be that surrounds Him, whatever glory beams forth from His presence, however you adore the hand that has swept millions from the gates of hell, however you find this indescribable Jesus Christ Almighty, one day, once He was little, the infinity of littleness. I heard Paul Harvey News yesterday. Paul Harvey Jr. talked about the astrologers and the scientists. They met to discuss the Big Bang, and the problem was they don't know who made the stuff that caused the bang. I do. But then the astrologers are in full agreement all over the world that regardless of what you believe about creation, there are 30 billion stars in the heavens, all of them bigger than this earth, and the earth and the stars and all of this vast universe of millions of years and light years away, all of it one time was the size of an atom. But that atom was in the hands of Almighty God. The infinity of heavens. So I asked the Lord. He told me I could. Samuel Voss gave a few words. I changed it to be more in keeping with our doctrinal concept of our Savior. And I bring this to a close by giving you that poem. Little Jesus, wast thou young once, and just as small as I? Didst thou ever complain? Lord, did thou play with the stars for thy toys in that playground in the sky? And when thou came to dwell in our region not quite so royal, did thy mother ever complain when our dirt thy robe would soil? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thou canst not have forgotten all of how it feels to be so small. So come, take us by the hand and walk and understand our baby talk.
Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. In Jesus.
Sing that again. Everybody join with him. Let's sing the chorus, the infinity of littleness.
A little is much when God is in it. Labor not our wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Sunday Night Live is produced and distributed by the Calvary Pentecostal Church, Incorporated. Please let us hear from you this week. Wherever you are in all this whole wide world, remember that Jesus Christ loves you, and so do we. And now, speaking for all the wonderful people who make Calvary their church home, this is Jim Armstrong thanking you for clicking on the Sunday Night Live. And may God bless you, is our prayer.